Change the words, make me blind. Chapter 21. It was a long time before the haunted pain eased its way out of Kara's features, and longer still before the spine-racking shivers finally stopped racking her body. But Kaylin was scarcely aware of the passing time. Her arms ached from the strain of holding on to the other woman so tightly, but it was more than she could do to let go, and she realized with some surprise that, as much strength as she was trying to offer Kara by clinging to her so desperately, she was drawing just as much from it herself. She supposed that, in some corner of her mind, she must have known, even back then, how difficult the trial had been for Kara. She must have realized the weight bearing down on her companion's tainted soul. But at the time she'd been so caught up within her own suffering, her hatred of the woman who had done such unspeakable things to Denis, and the near-blinding thirst for vengeance that, despite her insistences to the contrary whenever Richard brought it up, had all but consumed her, that she hadn't been able to see the situation for what it was. She'd never told Richard just how right he had been, and she knew he'd never dream of asking her to, but that didn't make it less of a fact, and it certainly didn't keep either of them from knowing that it was true. Loosening her grip on the Maud Sith ever so slightly as her shudders subsided, Kaylin tried to picture a life without her. A year, more than a year, without Kara's, often overwhelming but never dull, presence in their little group. All that time without her obnoxious remarks or her cocksure arrogance or her self-proclaimed superiority. A year without ever knowing what had happened to Denis, and an existence where her beloved sister had never been brought back to life. It was unfathomable, and more than a little bit frightening. But then, hadn't Zed mentioned a world without Kara? Hadn't he claimed to have conjured a world where she'd never been taken by the Maud Sith, never been broken, never joined the Seeker's quest? He hadn't graced them with any details, though Kaylin knew he would be more than willing to do so if she'd found a moment to ask him. Zed could never turn down the opportunity to spin a good story. But it had sounded beautiful, almost perfect. The world at peace, herself and Richard bound together in matrimony, all the world in balance. And yet, Kaylin suddenly couldn't bring herself to picture it with the giddy joy she'd felt surface in her when Zed had first mentioned it. Back when her thoughts had been only of Richard. Now, even with him in her thoughts, and her love for him, and the knowledge that such happiness was a real possibility for them here as well as there. Still, she found that she couldn't imagine true joy, even in that blissful world, if her life was void of Kara. In her arms, Kara relaxed, just enough to let Kaylin know that her mind was finally cleared of the troubled thoughts that had plagued it, at least for the time being. Kaylin, half smiling with the flood of relief that surged through her, felt her own body slacken a little in response. There had been so much tension rending both of them for so long, almost from the moment the spell had been cast, and for more reasons than Kaylin could count by now, that it never failed to make her smile when they were granted even the briefest respite from it. The flickering ghost of real calm in Kara's expression, the subtle shift of her body, the air-soft sigh born of something that wasn't suffering. All of a sudden, to Kaylin, they were the most beautiful things in all the world. When this is over, she breathed against the shell of Kara's ear. I'm never letting you out of my sight again. In her arms, her face buried warm and safe in the crook of Kaylin's neck, Kara smiled. In the weeks that followed her so-called salvation at Stowcroft and her return to the Seeker's side, Kara found herself waking up every night, almost without exception, drenched in sweat. Usually hot and feverish, fired by lust and hunger, sometimes cold and sickly, the grip of something dangerously close to fear, but always there, undeniable and infuriatingly inescapable, soaking through the increasingly tight fabric of her leathers. It made her uncomfortable, and that in turn made her irritable. The pain and guilt and shame still clung to her, even weeks later, and all the more so with every glance she stole at the Mother Confessor. It was enough to banish what brief remaining affection for her former sisters had lingered in her heart, at least on the surface, She was grateful for the sudden lack of sentiment she felt when she thought of them, which was often. But even that, it seemed, wasn't quite enough to keep them from haunting her dreams. The dreams themselves varied from night to night. In some, she'd be hanging above the blood pit, mouth open in a silent scream as her mistresses beat her into submission, either in punishment for her own misdeeds, or simply for the pleasure of those who stood in darkened corners and watched with snake-like smiles. In others, she'd be braced against the wall, every inch of her alight with primal need, as she pushed Dahlia to her knees and allowed her the honor of taking her. In still others, she'd be sprawled on that damned forest floor, fighting the claws of unconsciousness as Triana cut the braid from her head and left her to die. All so different, and yet their effects on waking remained unnervingly similar. Richard didn't notice her discomfort when she awoke, or the way her leathers were clinging with ever-increasing stickiness to her heat-pricked skin. Of course, she supposed, if he had noticed, Caelan would probably have removed his manhood before he had a chance to react to what he'd seen. Truthfully, Kara rather doubted that even that would have stopped him staring, if only he'd just possessed the smallest hint of observational skill. But it would have been an amusing sight, nonetheless. The wizard, naturally, was far more perceptive than any of his companions gave him credit for, and not only knew of her ailment, but knew just as well the cause of it too. He could have offered her an unction to clear her mind of such distracting dreams, she knew, or else cast any one of a thousand spells, but, of course, he didn't. It was possible, though Kara doubted it, that he simply didn't want to impose himself on her without invitation. More likely, she couldn't help thinking with no small amount of bitterness. He was simply so vindictive that he wanted her to come to him and beg for relief. As to Caelan, well, if the self-satisfied smirk that touched her face on certain mornings was any yardstick to measure by, she not only knew as well as Zed did what was troubling Kara, but took great enjoyment in watching the Mord Sith shift and squirm uncomfortably when she awoke pricked by the lingering effects. It didn't help either of them, or the tension that continued to flow like wizard's fire between them, that the almost predatory delight in the Mother Confessor's eyes as she watched Kara struggle to slow her breathing in the wake of a particularly vivid dream, was one of the most intoxicatingly erotic things Kara had ever seen in her life. She had never thought of confessors as sexual beings before, fixated as she had always been on their ability to bring death and humiliation on any Mord Sith within 500 leagues. And perhaps she could blame the lingering revenant of the dream for making her think of it so unexpectedly now. But there was no denying it once she'd noticed. The way Caelan's eyes smoldered as they locked on her hips. The teasing way her lips lifted not quite enough as she realized the cause of her companion's discomfiture. The delicious self-satisfaction as she watched Kara struggle to move without igniting the heat within. All of it. The dream's effects would linger throughout the day, Kara thought with a grimace, thanks to Caelan Amnell and her staring. Mord Sith were unaccustomed to patience at the best of times, and Kara was even less given to it than most. She did not enjoy waiting for anything, and especially for satisfaction. Dahlia, she supposed, had been a decadent indulgence in that regard. Sharing quarters as they had done for much of their adult lives meant that Kara seldom had to wait more than a handful of minutes, if even that, to see herself satisfied in the wake of such dreams as those that haunted her so frequently all of a sudden. Now, pledged as she was to the Seeker and his friends, it was going to be a lifetime of this. A lifetime of chastity and frustration, of bottling up those urges and impulses, for sex and for violence and for both at the same time. And a lifetime of feeling those things exacerbated, both deliberately and accidentally, by the Mother Confessor and the crackling heat of her gazes. It was not something to look forward to. Kara? A low groan caught in Kara's throat. It was barely half an hour into the morning. She did not need this. Yes, Caelan. Caelan smiled, a thin-lipped grin laced with danger and a malicious glee, and coated with the saccharine sugar of insincere worry. "Are you feeling well?" she asked. She sounded every inch the concerned companion, but everyone within a thousand leagues would know that wasn't the case at all. She was enjoying this, Kara knew, and the fact only fired her blood even more than it already was. Of course Kaelin would choose the morning after her most vividly detailed dream to date. Of course she would pick a morning where bloodlust and arousal coupled and sang within her blood, until she could barely see through the red-hot haze of it. "I'm fine," she replied tightly. "Thank you for your concern." "Are you sure?" Kaelin pressed cheerfully. "You seem a little uncomfortable." "I'm fine," Kara snarled, closing her eyes and swallowing the sudden overpowering urge to slam the mother confessor against the nearest tree, and either take her or beat her, or ideally both. "It's simply unpleasantly warm this morning, that's all." The knowing smirk on Kaelin's face was physically painful. "I see." Much to Kara's indescribable relief, because she would not have been held responsible for her actions if Kaelin continued to look at her like that. Richard chose that moment to interrupt her less than pure thoughts with an irritatingly optimistic announcement about the behavior of his newly acquired compass. "It's holding steady at north-northeast," he observed. Kara, for her part, couldn't possibly have cared less. Meandering in front of her, Zed brightened. "That should bring us within a league of Winterhaven by noon," he said, every inch the picture of casual innocence, though there was not one of his travelling companions who didn't know better than to believe that. "We could stop there for a hot meal." Had she been in a more amicable mindset, Kara might have let his remark pass. As it was, she was moody, irritable, aroused to the point of pain, and itching for a fight. Thus, she had no intention whatsoever of wasting the opportunity to turn the confessor's attention towards someone other than herself for 5 seconds. "I thought the compass was supposed to point the way to the Stone of Tears," she observed acidly, "not the nearest tavern." Zed huffed in indignation. "To reach the Stone of Tears," he pointed out, with what Kara was sure he thought was reason, "we need all the sustenance we can get." That was when Richard noticed the fruit. Kara's discomfort was just as apparent to Kaelin as it was to her otherworld counterpart, though her reaction was drastically different. She could feel the way Kara shifted in her arms, grumbling indecipherable half-words to herself, as though it was the universe's fault that she couldn't get comfortable, and she could see the telltale beads of sweat forming on her brow. It didn't take a genius to figure out what the cause of Kara's restlessness was, and flaming heat rushed to colour Kaelin's cheeks, as her mind chose that moment to lambast her with two vivid suggestions of all the ways she might be able to ease her friend of that particular burden. To her credit, Kara was diligent beyond words in keeping herself restrained. Kaelin remembered how desperately she had struggled to keep her primal Maud Sith impulses under control that second night after they discovered what Zed had done to the world, and recalled well the strain in Kara's eyes, as she'd told Kaelin that, for all the Mother Confessor's best intentions, she could not provide what Kara needed. It had unnerved, almost frightened Kaelin at the time. But now, all of a sudden, she would give anything to be able to ease that particular ache. "Water?" Kaelin blinked. The word had come out of nowhere, and it took a long moment to place in the mental timeline she'd set up of their travels together. When she did, the puzzled expression that had painted its way across her features gave way to a small chuckle. Zed, of course. The wizard was, of course, high maintenance even at the best of times, but, deprived as he had been for a brief time, courtesy of the witch Shota, of his memories and the wisdom of his experience, he had been more so than ever before. More so, certainly, than his companions, accustomed as they were, or so they thought, to his flightiness, could have imagined. As if agreeing with her bemused train of thought, Kara huffed indignantly, "My name is Kara." "That's right," Kaelin affirmed, patting her gently, and just a little condescendingly because she knew she could get away with it, on the head. "You tell him." You called me Kaelin, Kara went on, sounding as though the confessor's name was the most unforgivable insult in all the world. Not so long ago, Kaelin would have taken offense at the harshness of her companion's tone, the way she sneered as she said it, and her obvious disdain at having been mistaken for someone so apparently abhorrent as the Mother Confessor. But she knew Kara far too well by now, and was too amused to feel anything else, helped, of course, by her almost unique knowledge of just how unpleasantly distracted Kara was in that moment. As the scene played itself out with minimal contribution from the Mord Seth, Kaelin found herself unable to tear her gaze away. Kara's expression remained impassive, albeit confused, no doubt by whatever memory-addled nonsense Zed was spouting at anyone close enough to listen. But she was shifting restlessly in Kaelin's arms, as if she was itching all over, not really knowing what to say. And knowing that it would fall on deaf ears anyway, even if she did, Kaelin simply offered a few murmured words of encouragement and let her fingertips trail with feather-like lightness up and down Kara's back. We should have left him that way, she said quietly, words shaped against the shell of Kara's ear, and the Mord Sith gave an involuntary twitch. Kaelin smiled, perhaps more pleased by the reaction than she had any right to be. It would have saved us all a lot of trouble. Kara wasn't the least bit surprised when Richard and Kaelin sent her away to hunt down the elusive wizard after he disappeared. It wasn't, she convinced herself, anything to do with her unique Mord Sith ability to repel his magic. Nor was it because Richard trusted her any more than he would have trusted Kaelin or himself to bring Zed back unscathed. Far from it, in fact, she knew, given the choice, he would not have let her anywhere near his pet wizard, knowing, as well as he did, that she had every intention of using force if it was necessary. And perhaps, given the trouble Zed had caused, even if it wasn't. No. The real reason why Richard had sent her to complete the arduous task of finding and subduing Zed by herself, while he and Kaelin got to play with Shadrin horns, was because he couldn't bear the thought of separating from his precious confessor. Not even, it seemed, for the brief time it would have taken Kaelin, by far the better choice, Kara's aggravation-biased mind complained, to track down the wizard in Kara's place. It mattered little to her, in her admittedly unstable state, that perhaps there was some logic after all to Richard's assertion that her propriety for repelling magic might be useful. And it mattered even less that she was the most likely to get the task done properly, one way or another. All that mattered to her was that, of all the countless and nameless things that her body was aching to do, spending hours in search of an addled old man was not among them. Consequently, if she were completely honest with herself, the brothel was far more the idea of her still rebellious body than it was the product of her cynical mind. To some extent, she supposed the crisis with the wizard had taken the edge of her dream-induced frustrations, at least a little. But they remained stubbornly within her even so, and no doubt would continue to do so for as long as she went unsatisfied. Separation from the Seeker's chiseled muscles and the Mother Confessor's smouldering looks had helped too, as had the not quite genuine concern she had felt for the wizard's well-being. But her body was still desperately unhappy, and, she told herself, Zed could no doubt wait an extra hour or two to be found, if a pleasurable detour would allow her to focus again. Of course, because the Creator evidently hated her, she never got that far. There was Zed, as bold as brass in the very center of the room, a broad smile on his wizened old face, and what looked like a dozen horse clinging to his arm, as though he were the most appealing sight they'd ever laid eyes on. For a very long moment, Kara was thunderstruck. Why is it, she demanded, all cool business and casual indifference, as soon as she'd regained her composure, that when I'm hunting down a man, I never have to look further than the first brothel past the city gates. Keep away from me, Zed whimpered. Given his present company, Kara supposed she couldn't really blame him for wanting to be left in peace. Had she been in the same position, and, she mused wryly, if she hadn't found the old bastard she would have been, she would have been just as outraged by the interruption. But still, she had a job to do. Pleasure, for either of them, would just have to wait. Sorry, she told him, with perhaps a little bit more sincerity than she probably should have. Your little adventure is over. She took a languid step into the room, eyes never leaving Zed, though her body seemed to act of its own accord to make every curve of its presence known to everyone within 30 leagues. I'm taking you back to Richard and Caelan. I'm not going anywhere with you, the wizard told her aghast, and Kara couldn't help wondering if he would have been so brave if his memory had allowed him to remember the effect that her agils would have on him if he continued to push her. I think you'll reconsider, she replied, drawing one of the weapons with her usual lightning speed, and smiling at the familiar pain that coursed through her. She took a moment to watch, with far more enjoyment than she'd ever admit to Richard or Caelan, as the wizard's mouth dropped open in pure terror, and then lunged towards him. Violence, she decided, was necessary in this case. She'd given him the chance to come along quietly, hadn't she? Even Richard would have to concede that she'd had no other choice. Really, she supposed she should have seen the wizard's vanishing act coming. The pure, undiluted rush of delicious violence was too close, too achingly close. Of course she would be denied, just as she always was. Still, though she chastened herself with the benefit of hindsight, that it had been inevitable, and that she should have known better than to accept a simple capture, she was so overwhelmed by the rush of frustration that slammed into her as her agil met thin air, that all she could do was stare in blind disbelief at the empty space where the old bastard had been standing moments before. It was far longer than she'd ever admit before she realized she was not alone, and that she had, in fact, gained something of an audience. What? She demanded, honest aggravation coloring the frustration and shaping it into something dangerous. Slowly, she turned from the gaggle of harlots to the proprietor, rolling her eyes at him with exaggerated disdain. Of all the so-called clients who frequent this establishment, you've never seen a vanishing wizard, or a moored Sith. The proprietor raised an eyebrow at her, though Kara was frankly rather impressed that he'd managed to find the 4 seconds to meet her gaze between scooping conjured coins into a purse that was already stuffed far beyond its capacity. Will that be all? He asked, with too much feigned politeness and not nearly enough respect. Kara opened her mouth to tell him exactly what he could do with his practiced politeness, but something stopped her. Perhaps it was the way half of his horse were inching their way towards her, eyes on the agil still in her hand, as though they'd never seen one before. Or perhaps it was the painful realization that she really had no idea where in the world Zed might have gone. Or perhaps, though she would deny it to her grave, her body had simply had enough of these absurd dalliances. In her mind, she could hear Richard insisting that she find Zed, that she do everything within her power to subdue and bring him back. She could see the way his shoulders flexed and twitched with tension, the way his shirt looked too tight when he was irritable, could smell the earth in his hair as he leaned right in like he did every time he gave an instruction that he wanted her to pay careful attention to. And she could hear the mother confessor, too, telling her to behave. Be nice, Kara, or show some compassion, Kara. Always with that deliciously ironic smirk on her face, and the kind of fire in her eyes that made Kara wish she could decide whether she wanted the other woman lying dead at her feet, or kneeling in worship between her thighs. No, she said, speaking very slowly and allowing her gaze to wander with languorous appreciation over the gathering horse. That won't be all. Caelan groaned. Kara, she sighed, not even bothering to wonder why she was trying to chastise an unresponsive spellbound vegetable. Tell me you didn't. I believe, Kara purred, voice silken and dangerous in equal measure, that my friend the wizard has adequately paid for both of our entertainment. Caelan let her head slam back against the wall, drawing comfort from the solid impact. "You did," she sighed, and wished that she could be surprised by the fact. "Kara, what in the Creator's name is the matter with you? You were supposed to be looking for him, not deflowering his prostitutes." The remark was absurd even to her own ears, but it was more than she could do at that moment to form words at all, much less ones that made any degree of sense. Had Kara been conscious, she knew she would be regarding her with that calculated detachment, the kind that spoke of cocksure confidence, and the barely existent ghost of underlying self-consciousness that none but those who knew her intimately would ever see. It was that small, barely existent corner of Kara, the part that almost understood shame, that made it impossible for Kaelin to be angry with her, even for this. It wasn't much, barely anything at all, but it showed that, despite her arrogance, there was a level somewhere inside the labyrinth that was Kara, that knew there was something fundamentally wrong in what she was doing. It was barely existent, but it was there. A phantom trace of what she had been before she was a Mord Sith. That unbreakable and ever-present little girl, who knew right from wrong even if she didn't fully understand what or why. She wouldn't, and it was possible she simply couldn't, admit to it, and she certainly wouldn't apologize. But the unspoken, unknown understanding was there nonetheless, and seeing it realized even intangibly in Kara's face was enough to take the edge off even Kaelin's most justified disdain. "I realize," Kara went on smoothly, "that you are unaccustomed to such a high caliber of client as myself." Kaelin couldn't quite keep from choking at that. "But believe me when I say that your merchandise will more than suffice for my purposes. And since they are paid for, in full." Kaelin groaned again, easing Kara out of her arms and depositing her unceremoniously against the wall. She was more than content to hold Kara through her suffering, to soothe her through her frustrations, to murmur encouragements in her ear for any manner of experiences, even to hold her still and steady through her intimacies with Talia. But Kaelin was different now, and that meant this was different too. Her feelings had changed, or, at the very least, she'd become more consciously aware of them, and that amplified tenfold the awkwardness of moments like this. Admittedly, more than a little uncomfortable to begin with, until she could not bear it. She wasn't sure she could feel Kara's rocking hips pressing too hard against her own. Not so soon. Not with all the conflict still stampeding through her mind. And definitely not with the tingle that twitched its way up her spine at just the thought of her skin coming into contact with Kara's while she lived out another woman's sexual experiences. It was too many shades of too much wrong, and Kaelin told herself again and again that the heat pooling in her stomach was shame at the knowledge that she would once more be a witness to these acts. It had nothing to do with her so-called feelings, she tried to tell herself. It was simply common decency to distance herself from Kara, while the Mord Sith worked through her frustrations. There was no confusion to be felt in this, only good sense. It was a lie, though, just like it had been when she'd turned away the first time Kara had been intimate with Dahlia. The heat was undeniable, and it was familiar. She could no more pretend not to know what it meant than she could pretend not to know what the sudden elevation in Kara's breathing meant, or exactly what the nature of her dreams were. At least, notwithstanding her initial ill-conceived presumption that they were nightmares, when dealing with a Mord Sith, it was understandably hard to tell at first. But this, now, it was too much, too fast. Feelings were one thing, but this was physicality, and physicality, especially for a confessor, was dangerous. "You," Kara said, voice husky and hard with authority, "and you," she hummed, low and appreciative, "you as well." Kaelin, for her part, let out a pained whine. She had never wanted to die quite so desperately as she did just then. Over and over again, Kara told herself that she was just scratching an itch, that she was simply easing the frustration that her unwanted dreams had caused, that she was serving Richard by doing this because it meant she wouldn't be distracted while she searched all the Midlands for the missing wizard. She would have been a fool if she believed it. It didn't take a wizard of the First Order to figure out that not one of the poor unsuspecting harlots had ever seen a Maud Sith before in their lives. They were unafraid, more curious than nervous, and it was obvious that they had no idea what to expect from her. Had she been in the mood to exercise some of the compassion that Kaelin was always talking about, Kara might have actually felt sorry for them. Worked up as she was, however, she simply took advantage. She wasted no time in ordering them to strip, enjoying the acquiescence in their eyes as they fell about themselves in a rush to obey. Unenlightened as they may have been, they were still whores, and they knew the rules of the game. For her part, Kara lounged on the bed, fully clothed, watching them with unabashed hunger and tapping one of her agils with purposeful intent against her thigh, in unspoken warning of what would happen to them if they failed to move quickly enough. "Do you know what this is?" she asked, when all three stood naked before her, raising the agil for their inspection. A lazy smile touched her lips when they shook their head in perfect unison. This, she mused, was going to be an entertaining evening. "I've never seen," one of them began. Kara didn't know any of their names, though this one was a dazzling redhead, only to find herself cut off with a careless wave. "When speaking," Kara drawled, slow and deliberate, "you will refer to me as Mistress." The smile twisted on her face, shaping itself into something dangerous as the woman nodded. "Now, you don't need to know what this is to know that. If I touch you with it, it will hurt. A lot. So I strongly suggest you do exactly as I tell you, and we'll make sure there are no accidents." It was spoken as a suggestion, though the quietly thrumming need that now pulsed through every last inch of her was very much hoping that one or all of the women would test her. She was aching for violence, for somebody to discipline, just as desperately as she was for the pleasure that these misbegotten ladies seemed so eager to get on their knees and provide for her. "Yes, mistress," the redhead said, a sultry whine that was clearly designed to arouse, and the throbbing between Kara's thighs grew more urgent. "Sorry, mistress." It had been far too long, her body was telling her, since she'd last heard that title. When the harlots fell at her command to their knees, Kara allowed her eyes to drift lazily closed. The affection she'd felt for her former sisters may have dwindled into nothingness, but, just as it hadn't stopped them featuring in graphic detail in her dreams, it didn't stop visions of them dancing before her mind's eye now. She was no longer in a seedy brothel with three cheap harlots paid for by a wizard whose name she couldn't even remember anymore. No, she was in a temple, her temple, and these were her sisters falling upon her. She would punish them for what they had done. "You," she said, eyes fixed on the redhead. "Kay," the woman began, presumably trying to give her name, only to find herself cut off before she could finish. "Did I ask you to speak?" Kara demanded, waving a hand, and her voice was all sharp edges and calculated cruelty. The woman bowed her head. "No, mistress," she admitted, sounding suitably sheepish. "I just thought you might..." Again, she wasn't allowed to finish. Whatever she had thought of Kara, it was lost in the staggered cry that tore itself with sudden force from her throat, as the Maud Sith backhanded her swiftly across the side of the face with her agile-wielding fist. "No, mistress," Kara echoed, mocking, and the hapless harlot let loose a soft whimper. Kara, satisfied that her disrespectful pet had been effectively chastened, at least for the time being, promptly turned her attention towards the other two. They'd both inched their way back a few steps over the course of the exchange, and were watching her with expressions that were equal parts intrigued and frightened. She couldn't quite tell whether the fear in their eyes was genuine, or a practiced act born of experience with clients who enjoyed dealing in power. But she didn't care. By the end of the night, it would most certainly be real. "When I speak," she told them, "you listen, and you obey. You do not offer useless details, and you do not answer questions that were not asked of you. Is that clear? Looking very much like they wanted to run for the door, the two women nodded. The fear, it seemed, was genuine after all. Kara, for her part, smiled. If these so-called prostitutes were unnerved by a little violent foreplay, so far as she was concerned, she had acquired their services just in time. She rather doubted their next client with a taste for roughness would pay half so well as she was sure Zed had paid for this, and she was more than certain that he, or indeed she, would not be so willing to take their inexperience and educate them the way Kara was now resolved to. You would do well, she remarked, well aware of the rapt attention all three were paying her, to learn from this. Not waiting for a response, knowing well enough that none of her charges would be foolish enough to offer one without having been ordered to speak, she lunged forwards with her usual zeal and pulled the redhead into a bruising kiss. She relished the carefully repressed whimper, so very close to a moan, that escaped the woman's lips, swallowing her surprise and replacing it with her tongue, all while allowing her steel-gloved fingers to caress the reddening mark where her blow had found its mark. It lasted barely a moment, but it was enough to make her point, and she pulled back a few heartbeats later to gaze deep into the hoarse, anxious green eyes. "Undress me," she commanded, voice thick with combined arousal and bloodlust, and turned around without preamble to allow access. With her back to the terrified trio, she turned her attention to the full-length mirror that hung from the wall in front of her, watching their expressions closely and having to work harder than she should have to restrain the shiver that wanted to ripple through her. It was almost too much, the way their bodies moved, so fluid and so fluent even in such an unfamiliar realm as this, combined with the dusting of fear growing ever more tangible in the depths of their eyes. The meshing of all that they were, so close to everything she wondered, was so profound that she found herself genuinely wondering if she could even stand the wind until she was stripped. "Yes, mistress," the redhead squeaked, and Kara moaned aloud in spite of herself at the feel of practiced fingers working at the tightly bound laces of her suddenly sticky leathers. "Good," she said, approval mingling with hunger, and let her gaze dart to the mirrored reflections of the other two, where they still stood, nude and nervous. "And you two?" She smiled as they snapped to attention, like the well-behaved horse they were, and fought to keep still. If they kept looking at her like that, even when she wasn't facing them, it would be a miracle if she didn't reach a climax or two before her clothing was even out of the way. "Pleasure each other," she commanded, voice rough with need. For a long moment they could only stare, first at her, then at each other, twin expressions of bafflement glowing as plain as daylight on their faces, and Kara couldn't help wondering if this was truly the first time they had been told to perform that particular service. Regardless, their hesitation was as delightful to Kara as the act itself would have been, because it presented her with the perfect opportunity to further sate the violent urges that were just as irrepressible at this point as the sexual ones. And she tore herself away from the redhead's ministrations in a single fluid, albeit reluctant, movement. "Was I not speaking clearly?" she snarled, lashing out with a second sickening strike, this one aimed at the nearest of them, a pretty, if easily startled, brunette. Before the blow landed, however, the third woman stepped between them, catching Kara by the wrist with far more dexterity than the Maud Sitt would ever have expected from a common harlot, and stilling her hand. Kara growled, sucked in by anger, and yanked herself loose. She had every intention of drawing back again, to deliver a bone-shattering blow to this arrogant little upstart. But something indefinable in the way the woman met her gaze held her in check. The fear was still there, clearer than ever before, but it was edged with something darker, something familiar. "Your wizard didn't pay enough for this," the woman said, and that strange dark something, alien but unnaturally familiar, sent a sharp jolt of something so much more profound than desire arcing right between Kara's legs. surrendering for the moment the idea of teaching the insolent whore a lesson with her agile, if only for reasons of practicality while her hand was held at bay. Kara instead lashed out with her other hand, fingers clenching tight around the harlot's throat. She had seen Kaelin use exactly this method of suppression on soon-to-be victims of confession, had even been a victim of it herself, on two separate occasions, once as a threat, and once with the very real intention of killing her. As a result, she had come to respect, though she would never admit it aloud, and certainly never in the confessor's presence, exactly how intimidating such a simple gesture could be. Eyes never leaving the woman she held to such a delightfully promising stalemate, she addressed the other two. Leave us. In all her life, she had never seen a command obeyed so swiftly, or with such eagerness. Kaelin had expected to find herself witnessing a night of violence and brutality, of sex that bordered on war and of pleasure that was equal parts pain. What she saw instead left her open-mouthed in disbelief, and she watched from her safe, and at this point more than necessary, distance, as Kara's entire demeanour changed. The instant she had her conquest of choice were left alone, every last inch of the Maud Sith seemed to soften. Kaelin doubted her chosen prostitute would be aware of the fact, or even realize there had been any change at all. But she herself definitely was. Something about whatever had just happened, or perhaps what was about to happen, had struck something deep within Kara, and done so on a level that no mere harlot ever should have struck a Maud Sith. "You have a problem with my methods," Kara demanded, in a voice so heavy with lurid invitation that Kaelin shivered. What followed shook Kaelin to the core. She had no way of knowing how Kara's choice whore had responded to the question, but she certainly knew the effect it was having on Kara. Another low moan left her, seeming to catch and hitch in her throat in the moment before it escaped, and both hands fell, almost helplessly it seemed, to her sides. "You don't know the first thing about me," she growled, and Kaelin could hear just how void of truth the words were. What in the Creator's name was happening in that brothel? She would probably never know, she realized, with a hint of disturbed sadness, as there was little room for talking in the minutes that followed Kara's outburst. Kaelin had no idea which of the two women made the first move, or how the countless acts she bore witness to thereafter would possibly serve to reconcile the conflict that had been so obviously simmering between them. But, after all, this was Kara, and Kaelin had learned long ago that violence and sex were the only way she knew of reconciling anything. The prostitute, whoever she was lucky that Kara had kept to her original plan and focused on the latter. Given the fine line that Kaelin knew existed in Kara's mind between the two, roughness and pleasure, she couldn't help being a little surprised by how little of the former, how little possession, there was in the couplings that followed. In truth, the whole display was so completely void of all the aggression and the power plays and the Maud Sith brutality that Kaelin had anticipated, she almost felt guilty, more so even than usual, bearing witness to it. Kara was forceful, of course, because it was all she knew how to be, but Kaelin could tell that she was giving back in equal measure every last pleasure she took, and she suspected, though was blessedly deprived of having to see for certain, the prostitute ended the night just as satisfied as Kara herself did. The shift had surprised Kaelin. Moments earlier, Kara had been blinded by her primal urges, the need to take by force and destroy whatever stood in her way. It was a side of her that Kaelin had seen intimately before, and she knew perfectly well just how much self-control it took for the Maud Sith to pull herself back from the edge of it. And yet, in a single moment, all of that malicious brutality seemed to have bled out of her, as though it had never been there in the first place. In its place, it left behind someone who was not a great distance away from the softer Kara that Kaelin believed herself to know now. It was her Kara, the same Kara, or close enough to it, who had managed, despite the screaming of her Maud Sith instincts, to hold herself in check that night in the forest, when it had been Kaelin who'd come so close to being on the receiving end of it. It was a Kara who could not bring herself to truly hurt the woman in front of her, even as every fibre of her being was crying out for blood. It wasn't gentleness, and it certainly wasn't kindness, but it was something not unlike equality, of taking and being taken in kind, of almost, but never quite, love-making. It was so distant from the forceful and wrought-throated commands she'd been issuing just moments earlier that Kaylan couldn't understand what had changed. Neither, it seemed, could the prostitute in question. Kaylan wasn't graced with the question she imagined the woman must have asked, after far more wordless physicality over far more minutes than she had any intention of ever being forced to witness again for the rest of her life. But she was granted the bemusement on Kara's face as she heard it, and the surprising honesty of her reply as she huffed a sigh. "You remind me of someone," she said simply, clearly hoping that that would be the end of it. A wisp of something she couldn't define sparked behind Kaylan's eyes, and she forced herself to will the feeling away. "You have her eyes," Kara went on, looking as though the admission was causing her great pain. "And her stubborn refusal to obey me, even for her own good." Kaylan expected that to be the end of it. Kara was hardly one to share her feelings at the best of times, even in those practically non-existent moments when she would come so close to admitting that she had them in the first place. And the idea that the most closed-off, emotionally stunted human being Kaylan had ever met would choose to share her emotional burdens with a common whore was beyond laughable. "No," Kara said, as if reading her mind, though she didn't know what exactly the question had been. Kaylan could tell the answer was a lie. "No, I don't." She was annoying, self-righteous, and filled with foolish sentiment. Kaylan smiled, amusement touched by sorrow. "I do not miss her at all." And with that, she lapsed into a tense but appreciative silence. The reality belied by the words was obvious, even, Kaylan imagined, to a prostitute. And it carved a little at the mother confessor's heart, to hear them spoken to a stranger, and especially that breed of stranger. Kara, who would not share anything with anyone, was offering this now to a woman whose sole purpose was to sell her body. It wasn't sharing, exactly, because the words were so clearly false. But it was something, and it was more than Kaylan had ever been granted. She remembered vividly how difficult it had been to even see Kara's face, much less trust it, both in the wake of what she'd done to Denis, and simply by virtue of who and what she was. Kaylan had been as spiteful as possible, and Kara had delighted in alienating her, had drank deep of her hatred and her bitterness, like cheap wine, or perhaps cheap women. And yet, in the company of a common harlot, it seemed to have become second nature for Kara to speak so openly, in her admittedly reserved terms at least, and so freely. Kaylan honestly couldn't figure out whether her heart wanted to be envious of the whore, who had been deemed so worthy of such a rare gift, and who had no idea just how precious a thing Kara's words were, or angry at Kara for being too proud to be so honest among the people who would go on to become her second family, opting instead to unburden herself before someone so cheap and worthless as this. Had they known, Kaylan was sure, just how much Kara had been suffering the loss of her family, perhaps they would have been more empathetic. Perhaps. It was so like her, though. So infuriatingly, frustratingly, annoyingly like her. And while it tore at Kaylan's soul to know that her Kara, a Kara without any of Dahlia's foolish sentiment to ground her and grow within her, had never even had that, it tore far more cruelly to know that, even if she had been blessed with those things, that ghost of feeling so early in their time together, courtesy of an almost loved sister, she would have kept their existence locked secretly away regardless. Kaylan cared for Kara, deeply and complicatedly, but she couldn't change her, and she would never understand her. After a silence that stretched on for more minutes than Kaylan could count, Kara started talking again. Her voice was calm, controlled, and Caelan recognized the words as an explanation to herself and Richard of her brief encounter with Zed. Then he disappeared, Kara finished, cocking her head to one side and looking obscenely smug. "I've been searching for him all night," Caelan choked.